from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Hey, happy Friday to everybody. That's our normal Friday theme. Sal Capaccio here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I just don't know and don't feel right continue to play that upbeat music today with the news, obviously, that broke overnight and this morning about Johnny Gaudreau and his brother Matthew and their tragic passing last night. Of course, Johnny Gaudreau, known as Johnny Hockey, for the Columbus Blue Jackets, Calgary Flames, and they were apparently riding their bicycle in New Jersey on the eve of their sister's wedding, which would have been today then. I apparently, you know, depending on what time it happened, maybe the wedding's tomorrow, but they're there for that and struck and killed. And there's been numerous reports that the person who struck them was under the influence. And I don't know exactly where all that stands right now. That's, you know, the investigation and legal process playing out in that regard. But in the meantime, obviously an unimaginable tragedy. And that's what, you know, the NHL and teams around the league and their families and everybody else is calling it and thinking about it. And it's just, there's no way to put into words, right? Which I'm trying to do here. So I'll read you the statement from the Buffalo Sabres. They tweeted this morning, quote, "We are completely heartbroken for the Gaudreau family, Johnny and Matthew's friends and loved ones, the Columbus Blue Jackets organization, and the entire hockey community. The Sabres organization sends all of our love and prayers during this unimaginably difficult time." So start a show today like this, and it's always, you know, something on my mind when I do a talk show, which is, you know, we talk about sports and it's a Friday and feel good and happy. And then something like this happens and it kind of, you know, puts it into perspective. It also puts you in a spot where I don't love being like upbeat coming on the radio talking about it when the entire sports world, something we love to do, something we love to talk about, you know, is talking about and dealing with this today. And it's just as I said, unimaginable tragedy, right? So we do have a story at our website, WGR550.com, and obviously there's a lot more coverage of this around, you know, the sports scene and around the news cycle. So I'm sure that you're going to be reading about it a little bit more today, and, you know, we'll fill you in any more details do come out about the passing of Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Gaudreau. Okay, it is a Friday, and it is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. A lot to get to today. Going to talk today at 10:30 a.m. today with Syracuse University Athletic Director John Wildhack. We try to do this every year with John Wildhack. He's the Syracuse AD. Syracuse opens their football season tomorrow against Ohio at home in the Fran Brown era. But the reason I like to bring John on is because obviously we have a lot of people who follow Syracuse athletics. Of course, we have a lot of people who went to Syracuse in Buffalo in the media. I know Jeremy, me, there's a lot of people, you know, on TV. I always say throw a dart in any media market and you're going to hit somebody who went to Syracuse. And, you know, but the biggest thing is I always like to bring him on to talk about he's, you know, the AD at a Power Five conference and, you know, one of the closest ones here to Western New York, if not the closest. And he will give us and he can give us a perspective on what's happening in college athletics, the NIL situation, the portal, the NCAA versus House ruling of $20 million that, you know, is got to go to all the athletes. I mean, these are things that we'll explain and he'll explain and how Syracuse is dealing with it, how college athletics is dealing with it, realignment, TV contracts. And then, of course, you know, we'll talk a little bit about the Syracuse football game and the new seating at the Dome if you're going to a game this year. So we'll do that with Syracuse Athletic Director John Wildhack at 10:30 this morning. At 11 a.m., Alex Brasky joins me from Batavia News and the Buffalo Bills Digest. And we'll just wrap about the Bills a little bit. What he expects, what he's seen heading into week number one, which it's here, folks, next week, week number one, right? NFL, here we go. Let's rock and roll. Last night, college football, 30 games, including, by the way, UB. Great win last night in the Pete Lembo era to start off the Pete Lembo era, beating Lafayette. It was not even a really, UB kind of just took control right away. What was the final score? Let me grab this for you here. What was the final score yesterday? There we go. 30-13. Just want to make sure I said that right. But they took control right away, scored a touchdown, backed it up. I mean, really, the only thing that they had a misplay on special teams. And obviously, I could tell you today, I guarantee you, Pete Lembo and his team and his staff, you know, that's like the great situation when you're a coach. You win a game pretty comfortably, but you have a lot of things that you can get after your team about. And he's a special teams guy. And they had the punt that was blocked, and ultimately Lafayette scored, and that's something he can get after his team about, but still be 1-0 after a 30-13 victory over Lafayette. So they opened up the season on a really, really good note. Then we have NFL action, obviously, starting next week with a lot more college football on the schedule this weekend, your Labor Day weekend. Speaking of Labor Day, at 11:30 today, Pat Hammer's going to join me, and we will talk about your Labor Day weekend forecast. I want to open up the phone lines at 803-0550 before we'll do something a little different today. We're going to take a little bit earlier break here in about 10 minutes from now so I can have a little more time with John Wildhack after we get to the bottom of the hour. So we'll do that. 803-0550 is the number to call here on WGR on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And yesterday, the Bills had a couple practice squad moves. It's, you know, I get it. Like, whenever they make a move, I am immediately, there's a lot of, and it's not just when they make a move. At any time, I get a lot of people tweeting me and saying, why don't they take a flyer on this guy? Why don't they take a flyer on that guy? Well, they are taking a flyer on a few guys. I mean, Lewis Cine is a guy that they're taking a flyer on. And a flyer meaning like, hey, it hasn't worked out. Doesn't look like he's, you know, able to play at this level, maybe, if what people thought he was. Let's take a flyer. He's only 2 years removed from being a number one draft pick. I'm sorry, a first-round draft pick, number 32 overall. Same draft as Kyer Elam, which is very interesting. We kind of have some parallels there, right, where Elam just hasn't hit yet. And, you know, what's going on with him with the Buffalo Bills? But Elam has kind of stepped up his game. He's made the team. He is one of the top four boundary corners on the team. Whereas Lewis Cine in Minnesota, a team that's going through a transition as well, like the Bills, obviously a lot of people don't expect a lot from the Vikings. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Bills fans hope the Vikings aren't that good this year because the Bills have their second round pick this year. As it goes forward, though, Lewis Cine, as they went forward, a guy who came in, broke his leg early in his rookie year, four games in, never was able to get on the field after that. But as Matthew Collar, who was on yesterday with Shoup, and others will tell you, it wasn't just the broken leg. He just never really developed or was able to jump in to help out the Minnesota Vikings the way that they thought. Now he comes to Buffalo. Now, the reason I'm bringing him up is, in case you didn't see, Lewis Cine, just a first-round pick from 2 years ago, signed with the Bills practice squad. And this is, to me, this is a flyer. This is a guy. This is the definition of a, what do we always say? Low risk, high reward. Really, what is the risk? You're putting him on your practice squad. You get 17 players because the Bills have the exemption for Kingsley Jonathan. So they get 17 players in their practice squad. Why not bring him in? And according to reports, the biggest reason why, or a big reason why, he decided to come to the Bills when other teams were recruiting him heavily, and it appeared he was going to the New York Jets, is because his college coach, Jamil Adai, is now a Buffalo Bills secondary coach. So there's some familiarity there. There's where a relationship matters, right? Hey, this guy can play. I've seen him play. I coached him. I know what he's all about. Let's bring him in. I don't know if it's going to work out. I don't know if Lewis Cine is ever going to see the field for the Buffalo Bills, ever get elevated. I don't know. If he's not, I this is one of those where I don't know what the harm is in seeing what the look is and seeing what you can do with him. Also, though, does it say anything about what the Bills feel themselves about their own safety position.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It might, for sure. You know, I give my buddy Matt Bove a lot of garbage because he's always talking about Micah Hyde joining the team right now. And not that Micah Hyde won't join. I think there's always a possibility Micah Hyde could join the Bills. I just think it's not anything the Bills are interested in doing right now. And maybe I would think Micah doesn't necessarily want to play right now. You know, maybe he might want to play at some point this year. But people ask me all the time, has Micah Hyde officially retired? No, he hasn't. And he doesn't have to. He could literally not retire. We could be talking a year from now. He hasn't retired. And a team says, hey, you want to join us? The way I see that. Anyway, circling back, so Matt, in the press room the other day, asked Brandon Bean about Micah Hyde, and he said, hey, we haven't closed the door, and I don't think he has either. So what does he mean? I don't think he has either, is basically the way he phrased it. It means that, like, hey, he's out there. We haven't really talked about it, yes or no. The way I read the Micah Hyde situation is the way I've always read the Micah Hyde situation, which is, yeah, if it happens, it happens later in the season. It's not something that the Bills are itching to do. The Bills want to see this. The Bills want to see this safety group succeed, folks. That's what they want. Like, if they called up Micah Hyde tomorrow, it would either have to be because A, somebody got hurt, maybe multiple injuries actually it would take for, like, long term, or B, they just are really, really, really concerned about their safety group. I just don't think they are right now. Now, it doesn't mean they can't be a week from now, or 2 weeks from now, I guess, you know, after the game number one. But right now, it's, hey, we're going to roll with Taylor Rapp and Mike Edwards and Cole Bishop and DeMar Hamlin and Cam Lewis and see where we are. And as the season goes on, if that's not working, we have a guy that we can call up that knows our system to come in. And then the other side of it is, does Micah want to play? When does he want to play? Maybe he doesn't want to play right now. I mean, you know, training camp's over. 18 week season, still a lot there. So I just don't think about Micah Hyde that much, to be quite honest with you. I know others do, and I always give Matt crap because I say on our Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast, he's always mentioning him, and I always tell him, you got to stop talking about Micah Hyde. But he might be right. Matt might be right when it comes to, are they going to, and maybe Lewis Cien signing him is kind of a sign that the Bills are in that mold a little bit, that, hey, we need to kind of figure this out. Where are we? Think about the fact they brought Kareem Jackson back to the practice squad. Kareem Jackson is a veteran, knows the system. The two guys they brought to the practice squad at the safety position are, one, a veteran who's been in the league quite a while, and two, a first-round pick from 2 years ago. Guys that they were like, hey, like, if we need somebody, maybe we're going to lean on this guy, not just some developmental guy. You could call seeing that, but, you know, he came in with a lot of traits and a high pedigree. The other guy that they signed, this Jalen Virgil. Jalen Virgil, apparently, like, he really struggled to leave Denver, who wanted him back on their practice squad, to come to Buffalo. But the report was that I had read that he decided to come to Buffalo because he believes that he might have a better path to the 53. Now, this may be a really, you know, maybe big statement, indictment on what others in the league think about the Bills wide receivers, and that's fine. And again, I'll go back to, it's kind of the same situation as safety. What the team thinks about what they have at the position doesn't have to be in line with what everybody else or other people think about what they have at the position. We all know, and we've all seen, that the Bills have had, you know, a lot of turnover here, and we've all talked about the turnover they've had at safety, no doubt. I'm at wide receiver, and at safety, by the way, at wide receiver. And there's definitely concern, right, on a lot of for a lot of people. There's definitely concern. What is it going to look like? We don't know. It's one of the biggest wonderings of this offseason. What does the wide receiver room look like? What do the wide receiver targets look like? How does Josh Allen navigate throwing to all these guys who never caught a pass from him other than Khalil Shakir? Where does Keon Coleman fit in? Where's your number one? You don't have a number one. That's right. No doubt about that. But Virgil, he comes in. This is a guy that he runs 4.4. This is his pre-draft time. I don't know if it's combine or pro day, but he is a 4.4 guy. So he's got some juice. He's got some speed. He's not like super small. He's not like, 5'9". They signed this guy, Codrington. They tried it for him. Codrington's a smaller guy. Daquan Hardy is a smaller guy. And this is a guy, he is a returner as well. Jalen Virgil, he can return. 6'2", 210. He's got a little more bulk to him than some of the other guys they've signed. But what he does, what's interesting to me is he is a guy that when you get the ball in his hands, he can make things happen. And I think the Bills, what's funny to me is what I've seen here, the Bills transform into really over this entire offseason, but maybe specifically even over the last several weeks with, KJ Hamler and what we saw him do in that final preseason game and then trading for Brandon Codrington and still having Daquan Hardy on the roster and now bringing in Jalen Virgil. What I've seen the Bills kind of do here, and I think this is interesting to watch, they're collecting this talent that is, I don't want to say gadget, but guys that really could do some things with the ball in their hands that, maybe they want to figure out how to incorporate that much more into their offense this year. And I don't know, maybe I'm just looking too far into it. Because what's the big knock on the receiving core this year? One of the big knocks. They don't have a guy to get down the field. They don't have a guy to separate down the field. That's really not Keon Coleman. He can separate. As I said, he separates more with his body than he does with his speed. Curtis Samuel is a fast player. It's not his specialty running down the field. He can do it. And he's done it. He did it against the Bills last year in a game against Washington. His specialty is getting the ball in his hands, lining up all over the place. We know that's not Khalil Shakir's game. It's not Dalton Kincaid's game. It's not James Cook's game. Who am I missing? It's not Mac Hollins' game, right? So when we think about those guys, then I look at, okay, what is the game? Getting the ball in your hands, making plays, rack, rack, rack. We've heard about rack since really the owners' meetings. I remember going to the owners' meetings. Actually, the combine, which was before the owners' meetings. I'm sorry. At the combine in February, both Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean talked about rack, talked about running after the catch. And then Sean McDermott at the owners' meetings in our AFC coaches' breakfast, talked about, hey, the way teams are playing you now, too high shell, you got to get the ball into the guy's hands and let them make plays sometimes. Like, that's the way you can matriculate the ball down the field. And I see how they're collecting this talent now and thinking, okay, this is kind of making sense here that they're going to this model in some capacity. Now, these guys aren't on the team, 53, unless they get elevated. Jalen Virgil, KJ Hamler, the Brandon Codrington is, right? So, but it just feels like they're creating this group that they're going to have some guys with this type of skill set that they're going to lean on at some point. Doesn't that be week one, week five? But I bet you as the year goes on, I'm just going to make this prediction right now, right? August 30th. We're not even to September yet. I'm going to make this prediction right now. I bet you at some point in this year, we're going to be looking at the Bills and going, and their offense and going, oh, they kind of threw in a few more of those types of plays with players there. Those, I don't know, what do you want to say? Gadget plays, different kinds of just getting the ball in their hands of these guys, these faster guys, let them run after catch, whatever the play is. It doesn't have to be a play design, but these players. Like, you're going to think about that a little bit. Think about how they've kind of moved their offense a little bit towards that. And if teams start to come up on it and they start to say, hey, we have to guard against that, that's when you hit them over the top with Josh Allen. I think that's the theory. That's the way I'm going, at least. And I also think that, it helps, if you can run with, James Cook, as he did last year with lighter boxes, because teams are backed off on you, and then you do that, and then they come up, and again. So I think that's the model they're going towards in looking at what they did on the practice squad moves yesterday. All right, we'll take a quick timeout here because, like I said, I'd like to do a timeout now and then get to a timeout at the bottom of the hour because John Wildhack, Syracuse AD, is going to join me here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.